It's 5:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up later in the program, we'll take a closer look at the cases the Wisconsin Supreme Court is expected to rule on in the coming weeks.
First, Wisconsin is in the midst of a brain drain, an outflow of young college graduates. While the state's population is increasing a bit, that's largely driven by older residents, and there's a net loss of thousands of 20-something college grads each year.
Our next guest is sounding the alarm about what this could do to Wisconsin's economy, and he's offering some solutions, too. Morris Davis is with us. He's an associate professor of business at UW-Madison and academic director of the James Groskamp Center for Real Estate. Morris, welcome to the show.
Rob, thanks for having me.
So how many of these young college grads are we losing from Wisconsin?
Well, if you add up all the college grads, not just the young ones, we've been losing 14,000 per year. So over the past 5 years, we've lost 70,000 college graduates to other states.
And mostly young ones, or a lot of people are focusing on the people in that 20-something age range?
Yes. Of that 14,000, 8,000 or 9,000 have been under the age of 30.
Why is this a worry for the state's economy?
Well, there's two reasons to worry. One is we have social programs that we have to fund. And as the population gets older, we need taxpayers to fund those programs. So we're losing highly educated, highly compensated workforce that will be a net drain on the taxes for those that remain will have to go up. And the second is the assembly, the legislature has made it a priority to create jobs. Mm-hmm. Retirees don't create jobs, so we need inflows of young people to create jobs. And rather than having inflows of young people, we're having outflows of young people.
And I was looking at some of your charts earlier. I saw numbers like, you know, if this trend continues, annual job creation numbers of 6, like a single-digit job creation number.
Yeah, you know, so we're exiting a recession now, or we were until the first quarter. And when you exit a recession, people that were looking for work gain work. So you'd figure job growth would be high because we're exiting a recession. However, our population's aging. So some people that have jobs are going to be retiring. So if you net those forces together, basically without any inflows at all, the people entering the workforce because the economy is recovering will almost exactly equal people leaving the workforce because they're aging. So the only way that we can have job growth is to have inflows of people either from foreign countries or from other states. And we do not have a good track record of attracting on net people from other states. So I think a very realistic forecast for job growth for 2014-2015 in Wisconsin is a number like 0. I mean, my modal forecast, the forecast I'd expect would be, it's not a 0, but it's a number like 15,000 jobs per year. Mm-hmm. It's a very, very low number, and it's indicative of the kinds of demographic problems that Wisconsin has.
Well, let's look at these 20-something college grads. Why are they leaving Wisconsin if they're leaving Wisconsin, and why aren't the other ones from the other states coming to Wisconsin?
That's a very hard question to answer. You know, we can look at the states that seem to be doing the right things and compare them to states that seem to be doing the wrong things, and Wisconsin's somewhere in the middle. So, we all love to compare ourselves to Minnesota. Minnesota basically has a stable population, in contrast to Wisconsin, which does not. And Minnesota's attracting high-skill labor, college graduates, young college graduates, and they're actually losing lower-skill labor, just high school graduates. I know that's not really a great definition of low skill, but that's the data we have access to. So their mix is changing to high skill from low skill, and their population is stable. Wisconsin's sort of the other way. We're losing college graduates. We're losing population. The population that is coming in tends to have just a high school degree. So I think we could look at Minnesota and ask what they're doing. But the state that's attracting everyone is Texas. Texas is gaining 170,000 people a year from other states. And I think we could ask, what is Texas doing that we're not doing, and try to emulate that?
I mean, is it just a matter of being warmer? It's something we don't have control over?
We don't have control of the temperature, but neither does Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin does not have a good business. I know. No one's going to like hearing this, but I'll say it anyway. Wisconsin does not have a good business climate, and we don't have a great major city. It's not like young people are going to be very attracted to move to Milwaukee as compared to, say, Chicago or Minneapolis. I think that's a problem for the state. We're also a high tax. No one will like me saying this, but I'll say it again. We're a high tax state. You could also say we're a high benefit state. I don't know if that's true or not. Texas is a low tax state. They've got Dallas and Houston. I never thought that those were two great cities, but apparently people like them. They've also got Austin and San Antonio. And whatever they're doing there, they're attracting 150,000 people per year.
Well, is this a chicken or egg question? Maybe those places have jobs that are hiring lots of college graduates. That's where the college graduates are going. The current job situation is creating this migration of the young, educated people?
You know, I don't know. I know exactly what you're asking. We could say, did Wisconsin start out with the wrong skill base? You know, if you look, we're not creating manufacturing jobs. Manufacturing's not going to, there might be a minor revitalization of manufacturing, but there's no way you'd say manufacturing is the future of the U.S. That would just not align with what history suggests. History suggests we're a high-tech, high-skill economy. Therefore, we should focus on biotech, high-skill, high-tech jobs. Those jobs are created in Massachusetts, New York, California, Texas. You know, they're not being created in Wisconsin. So I think our industrial mix didn't give us a good leg to start on them, but it doesn't mean it's a permanent thing. It just means we have to start thinking about how to change it.
Well,
just to add one more thought, we're not the worst, the state in the worst shape of the union is Michigan. Michigan is losing, I think, 80,000 people per year. So every 3 years, a city the size of Madison leaving Michigan. So, you know, just for perspective, mm-hmm. Wisconsin's problems are not nearly as severe as Michigan's, but I think the reasons for the problems are similar.
Well, let's get into solutions a little bit now. You've got ideas for what the state can do, what our higher education system can do to start trying to keep the college graduates here and lure others in. Let's start with that keeping Wisconsin graduates in Wisconsin. What could we do?
Well, we do have a good record. So I think there's some confusion about this is a lot of the college graduates we train, we keep. Mm-hmm. I think the number's between 85 and 90%. You know, so the question is, where are the other 10% going and why? That's of people that graduate from Wisconsin institutions. So the any plan I would recommend wouldn't be so much about focusing on the other 10% that we're losing as trying to attract college graduates from other states to move in. I think actually that's an easy sell because college graduates oftentimes leave college with a lot of debt. So I think with the right financial incentives for at the person level and not the corporate level, we could attract quite a lot of people to the state. And you know, so for example, we could anyone with a certain degree, with a good credit score, with the right kind of training at the right university, we could offer them, say, $20,000 to move to the state as a loan that's forgiven if they're here for 5 years. And they'd have to pay taxes for 5 years. But then after 5 years, then it'd be forgiven. My suspicion is that program would be very, very successful. What college graduate wouldn't want $20,000 to help pay off their student debt? Then, you know, you can guess what they'd earn once they're here. You can guess how much they'd spend. So if you count the income taxes they pay once they're here and you count the sales taxes they pay on the things that they buy, that program basically pays for itself after 5 years. So it looks like it has an expensive price tag. I mean, 10,000 people looks like it costs $200 million. But if you have the long view, if you think about the taxes accruing over a five-year period, the net cost to the state is zero. But I understand it. $200 million to kids graduating college for 10,000 students, it just seems like a big number, but it'll work. So that's just one idea that's floating out there. I'm sure there are other ideas, but it is a little disappointing to say, I know the state's great. I love it here. And it's sort of disappointing to say, oh yeah, if we want more people in the state, we have to pay them.
We have to bribe them.
They do that with doctors though all the time. Mm-hmm. So I'm just advocating that the level be shifted from not just doctors, but also from high skill, high demanded younger folks.
We're talking to Morris Davis of the UW-Madison about brain drain, an outflow, a net outflow of young college grads from the state and what it means for the future of our economy. And you can join the conversation. Do you see brain drain as a problem in your part of the state? What, if anything, could be done about it? And are you a fairly recent college graduate? Why are you staying in Wisconsin, or why are you planning to leave? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. We continue our conversation about the impact of brain drain here in Wisconsin. Young, well-educated people either leaving the state or, if they're from elsewhere, not moving here. We're checking out why this is a problem and some possible solutions with Morris Davis. He's business professor at UW-Madison. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. If you're a recent graduate, tell your story, why you stayed, why you're going. If you're from out of state, tell us about that too. By the way, a related topic coming up tomorrow at this time, we'll check out efforts in Door County to lure more millennial-age tourists, workers, and residents there. And Morris, I wanted to ask you about that. We talked a little bit. We'll talk more probably about what we can do at the state level. Are there things local communities can do to try to stem their own brain drain?
That's a very difficult question. People are free to move, so I think, you know, communities have to focus on providing the kind of amenities that young people and educated people want. But those things are expensive, and oftentimes they're subsidized by state taxes. So I do think it's a state problem. Obviously, you know, people like Madison, people like Milwaukee, some people like Milwaukee. I think Green Bay, you know, it's possible that I've been told Kenosha is trying to do these things. It's possible, but I do think we need action at the state level because that's where, frankly, most of the government dollars are located.
And you mentioned people seeking maybe a high-tech community with lots of jobs. I mean, could Madison become that if Milwaukee isn't? You've got a lot of jobs with Epic here and spin-off businesses from that, and the university, of course.
I think Madison could. You know, we're talking, you know, if I had my druthers, I'd say we should target a number like 30 to 50,000 people a year for about 5 years. And then after that, just take a pause and see what happened. And certainly Madison could handle that. I do think that if you were to take a random person, college person from out of the state and ask, you know, where would you want to live, knowing nothing about the state of Wisconsin, most would probably say either Madison or Milwaukee. And then in terms of the job creation, I think employers will create jobs where these clusters of really highly skilled young people are. So even if we don't have the right industrial mix right now in Milwaukee, as these young kids arrive with $20,000 in their pocket, some of them will start businesses and others of them will, people will create jobs for them.
We'll go to our callers now. We've got Mikkel in La Crosse. Mikkel, hi. You're on the air.
Yes, hello. I graduated a four-year apprenticeship in 2011. Through a non-union affiliation, ABC Associated Builders and Contractors. And they gave me a certification which keeps me in the construction field as a journeyman roofer and waterproofer. And I've decided to stay in the state because of the amount of work that's available for the construction field in general, from the southern parts of the states to the east to the west, from La Crosse to Green Bay to Madison to Milwaukee to Eau Claire to Superior. I got very well-paid jobs offered to me all year long, and it's one of the main reasons I stick around. One of the other reasons would be the fact that I take great pride in this is the state I'm from. Mm-hmm. This is where my children were born, and I want to be a part of growing the community and building these commercial and residential projects. So I see a great future for the state, and I hope that everybody gets to experience the growth as we build.
Mikkel, thank you so much for calling and sharing that story. He's coming from the skilled trade side of things there, Morris. Is that something you're looking at in your research or mainly just college grads?
Mainly just college grads. Obviously, it's a very rough cut at what skill means. Most economists say either 4 years of college or just a high school degree. Obviously, skill means different things to different people. But on average, people with college degrees earn more than people with just high school degrees. And we use those higher earnings of college graduates to pay for social programs. So,
He brought up a point, there's the money and the jobs, but there's also attachment to community. Is there, I know that's maybe a tough thing to put a number on or a state policy on, but is there something that the state can do, that businesses can do to facilitate that kind of personal attachment and connection?
You know, that attachment shows up in the data. Most the probability a given person moves across state, once you're 35 or 40, the probability that you just pick up and move across the state is 2%. So really, the people that move are the ones that are unattached, and they tend to be young and college educated. Say young being under 35 and college educated. So that's why I think any program that tries to bring people in should focus on that group. And that's why, but you know, correspondingly, we should focus on keeping that group because they're most likely to leave. I think the same kinds of things that will bring people in, you know, if we bring in 50,000 people a year to Milwaukee that are all young, highly educated with $20,000 in their pocket, Milwaukee is going to be a really nice place in 5 years. And that will keep all the other young, highly educated people that moved to Milwaukee there. So I think these kinds of programs could have big benefits.
We'll go back to our callers now. We've got Gail on the line in Fish Creek. Gail, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. One of my major clients is in does search for corporations. We find high-end talent for companies nationally and internationally. And what we have found over the last 10, 20 years is there's a gravitation, and over the years, more people are looking for, especially the younger people, are looking for technical-based jobs. And there's kind of a challenge because with the jobs that are out there, if their degrees aren't applicable to any particular type of honing in on a specialty, they really have a hard time taking that degree and applying it to a job. And I think that's part of the issue that a lot of the younger kids are having is they have these degrees. And with Texas having Texas Instruments and major corporations for airlines and that, there's a lot of extra jobs in those areas, and they're not seasonal. And I think with Wisconsin being a seasonal recreational state, I think do you agree maybe that that's one of the issues is we're having this fluctuation happening of what our state really is now?
Gail, interesting points. Morris.
Yeah, no, this is the chicken and egg problem. We don't have any high skill. We have plenty of high skill, but let's say we don't have that many high skill folks here, so there aren't going to be that many employers coming in creating high skill jobs. So I think it has to start somewhere. You either have to pay companies to just come in and post vacancies that are the kinds of vacancies that we want here, or we have to pay people with these kinds of skills to come here and hope that employers, recognizing the new depth of the talent pool, will start making those kinds of jobs available. But that has to start somewhere. And I guess we've tried from the tax credit side to encourage employers. Maybe it's been more manufacturing than anything else, but think of that as the demand side of labor. And I think we should focus now policies on the supply side of labor. How do we get people to move here so that employers have someone to hire if they want to hire?
But again, am I going to pack up and move as a 20-something, maybe with a tech, high-tech computer science, biotech degree, if there's nobody there to hire me?
That's a tough question. I mean, the gamble, policy requires some uncertainty. I think if you want to make a big move, there's always some uncertainty. But I think if you're going to offer somebody $20,000, I think they'll take that chance. I mean, worst case scenario, they could start their own business. I say worst case, maybe in their own mind. Mm-hmm. But there are jobs, there are plenty of jobs here. The question is, is the fit exactly perfect? And, probably not right now, but maybe young graduates would be willing to overlook that for a $20,000 grant or loan, depending on how it's structured.
Well, you mentioned the policy side of things. Are state legislators the ones who ultimately would have to decide things like that? Or the university, are people starting to take this seriously to where they're ready to think big and do something like what you're talking about?
I've heard through the grapevine that we're now aware of the problem. And so I think people are willing to think big. nobody likes to admit you have a problem. It's a lovely state, and there are a lot of great people here, and there's a lot of pride in the state. So it's really a little embarrassing to say we have to pay people to move in. I mean, one way to think about what Texas does, Texas pays people to move in. How? There's no income tax. You can think of that as basically letting them keep a higher fraction of their salary than if they were to move to a place like New Jersey or New York, where 8% of their income goes to the state. So, you know, we have to compete in that environment. Maybe we have to pay people to move in. And I think my understanding is the legislators are willing to consider these things. And I would not be surprised to see some proposals out there in the fall.
We'll leave it there for now and watch for those. Morris, thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much, Rob.
That was Morris Davis. He's Associate Professor of Business at UW-Madison and Academic Director of the James Groskamp Center for Real Estate.